This is international film and television star Nick Searcy, and for some unknown reason, you are now listening to Off the Hook Radio. God help you all. So you're a tough guy, like a really rough guy. You just can't get enough guy, just always a bluff guy. Yeah, I'm a bad type, make your mama sad type. Make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm a bad guy.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah.
Adam and the Metal Hawks.
We like Adam.
Rocking us out. We're trying to get a little. We'll try to get a little new Adam and the Metal Hawks music in at the end of the show tonight.
We'll try. Oh, really?
Yeah. Hey, hey, mama.
That's, oh, okay.
It's their new release.
Well, I hope it goes well for them.
Yes, and I love my old idol friends, and especially when they become successful. And Adam is doing really well. And our girl Joey Cook, she put out a new single, first one in a while, and it is beautiful. Called Grass is Greener. You want to look up Joey Cook on YouTube. My blue-haired beauty. And check it out. I mean, it's really a pretty, pretty song. Just beautiful. So, anyway, little tips for you. And we also want to say happy birthday to international film and television star Nick Searcy.
Who?
Peabody Award-winning Nick Searcy.
Who? Peabody?
He won a Peabody. Yes, he did.
No, I'm thinking of the cartoon.
No.
Peabody and Sherman.
No, the Peabody Award, you smartass. His birthday was on the 7th, so that was Saturday. So happy birthday to you. And let's see. Oh, welcome to Off the Hook Radio for March 9th.
Oh, that's me.
2020.
Baba's a little slow tonight, but that's
okay. Yeah, thing there.
Thank you, Baba. Baba Wawa. I hate talking about crap. That's depressing, but you know, it's so big in the news. We got to talk about the coronavirus just at least a little bit. Then we'll get to the funny stuff.
Okay.
But there's a couple things about this. A couple things about this that just piss me off, and I want to know what you guys think. Why does China control 90% of our drug manufacturing?
Because we let them?
Yeah, politicians are blamed from both sides. Absolutely both sides. They put them into the World Health or the free market doohickey. And, you know, Clinton opened that up, and then Bush said, yeah, okay, that's okay with me. And it just kept going. And Obama's like, oh, China, they're on our side. They're our friends. Well, you know, that was naive as all get out. But what really bothers me about this is that we are at their mercy in a health crisis, even if they started the health crisis. Because 90-some percent of all medicines' basic ingredients are manufactured in China.
Yeah.
Practically all the generic drugs are manufactured in China. And guess what I found out while researching this? People in China don't take generic drugs. They take the name brands. Why? Because they know how it's produced in China. Oh, you know, and heparin's a thing. And I don't know if you know what heparin is. I'm not going to explain it to you, but it's something that my daughter needed desperately when she was growing up. It cleared the PICC line that she had in. It cleared the medicine out of the PICC line and stuff. And in 2008 and 2009, which fortunately she had just stopped using it at that point in time, she outgrew a lot of her problems. But their heparin that they were sending over here, they manufacture all of it. And their heparin was so tainted that 149 Americans died from its use. And heparin's supposed to be a pretty, you know, a pretty nothing drug. It's not like a real powerful drug or anything. It's an anticoagulant is basically all it is. But it killed 150 people in the United States.
Oh.
So, but they're controlling all this stuff. And now with this deal here, they're like, okay, well, you know, Trump's got this trade war going with us, and we're losing. He's kicking our butts on it. We're paying hundreds of billions of dollars in tariffs, and we have to lower our prices because if we jack up our prices to cover the tariffs, people will stop buying our crap. Well, that's what the opposite is what they did with the same thing they did with the drugs is what they do with all their other items. They lower the price so that you almost have to manufacture it in China if you want to keep your company profitable. And the drug manufacturers around the world, they want to spend their money on research and development and making new drugs and stuff, and they don't want to deal with the mundane part of actually producing their medicine. Why is my phone coming through my headset? I don't know why. I can't do it. Don't know why. But so we've got a large-scale health problem here in the United States, and the Chinese control all the drugs. And what one of their big politicians said last week was that, well, why don't we just hold up all the drugs? Let's not send them to America. Well, they do all the antibiotics. You know, your kid gets a cut and he gets an infection. What do antibiotics do? Antibiotics make us feel like things that used to kill people back in the 1800s and early 1900s and way back before that. Now we take antibiotics and it's just like a minor nuisance. We don't die from anything anymore. Well, if we don't, if the antibiotics run out, guess what's going to happen? People are going to start dying from little things again. And it's silly. So this whole supply chain crunch with us not manufacturing our own drugs is basically a security problem, I think, for this country. Would you guys agree?
Oh, yeah. It always has been. But the almighty dollar rules.
The almighty dollar rules.
Yeah. If you can make half a cent more manufacturing the thing in India than you can in the United States, that's where it goes.
Yeah, but my take on this is take a look at what we do in our military. Okay, there are parts for our airplanes and things that we're okay with them being manufactured outside the country for, you know, private planes or things like that. But when it's a military item, we manufacture it here, and we subsidize, you know, the Lockheed Martins, the Raytheons of the world.
Well, we buy their stuff.
Yes. But we subsidize them for the R&D to get this stuff up and manufacture it here under strict quality controls.
Yeah, well, the idea...
Remember the $600 hammer?
For research, and then they make it back when they sell the stuff.
Mm-hmm. But it's manufactured here. It's inspected here. We don't have to be dependent upon a foreign country for anything else. Yeah. And one of the other things that bothers me about China is they control a lot of the rare earth minerals. And I'm not going to bore you all to death with rare earth minerals. But trust me, rare earth minerals, if I live long enough, is going to be a major flashpoint in the world in the next 15, 20 years. CB knows what they are, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
things they use for manufacturing batteries.
Yeah, among other things, yes.
Well, everybody wants to go all electric.
But our lasers and all that other stuff, we need rare earth minerals, and China's got a near monopoly on those, too. And these are things that we just have to stop. So my point on the whole thing is basically that this is a real threat to our country. It's a threat to our prosperity, and it's even a threat to our lives with the drugs. And all y'all are bitching about Trump being too tough on China. And remember, Joe Biden's at the front line of that chorus. You guys are all naively in error. China is not on our side. They are not our friend. You know. Now, we don't want to have World War III with the little buggers, but we got to be tough. And I think this is just going to make us be even tougher. And maybe we'll finally get all of the politicians in this country working for the same thing for once. Wouldn't that... maybe not. Maybe I'm being naive.
It would be nice, but it's never going to happen.
Yeah, my last thing about this is you remember they're all complaining that Trump didn't ask for enough money for the coronavirus fund. And Pelosi said, well, he's only asking for whatever it was, $4 billion. We should give him $6 billion. And then she admitted in the next breath that the Ebola funding that they gave to Obama back then, well, we still have a bunch of that money left. We never used it all. But Schumer in the Senate, he just said, we need $8.3 billion. He didn't say why we need $8.3 billion. But Trump in his town hall basically said, look, if they're going to appropriate the money, we'll take the money. He goes, if this thing should get worse, you know, we might need it. If we don't need it, I'll put it back in the treasury. That's basically what he said. Not in those so many words, but that's what he meant.
Well, as long as he does, then that's good.
Yes. So Democrats are all in favor of appropriating all this money to get to work on the coronavirus thing here in this country, except that we found out last Monday night from House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy from California, is the dirty little secret is they have the coronavirus. We need to fund the coronavirus. And what did Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, did? She withheld the bill for a whole week. Why?
She's a bitch.
So the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee could run ads against 7 Republican congressmen.
Which isn't right.
They ran ads criticizing Republicans for doing nothing about the coronavirus when the House holds the purse strings, it's controlled by the Democrats, and she held it up on purpose to run the ads. Politics before lives, and these people want to be back in power?
Well, but
That kind of stuff torques me off.
Wait, this isn't the first time it's politics before lives. Benghazi, politics before lives. I mean, this isn't the first time. Everything's politics before lives anymore with these people. But that's why we got to get the career people out of there, the ones that have been in there 30, 40 years. They don't need to be there anymore.
Well, I'm old enough, I remember when Democrats and Republicans could actually work together on things that would benefit all of America. And ever since the hanging Chad in Florida, that stuff's going downhill rapidly.
Oh, we have breaking news.
We have breaking news?
Trump's new chief of staff.
Not breaking wind.
No, but Trump's new chief of staff is in coronavirus self-quarantine.
Oh, okay.
He is possibly been exposed.
No, he shook hands. There's a guy at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee. They had their thing a week or two ago, and Trump spoke there. And there was a guy in the crowd who they found out a couple of days later had coronavirus. And he had shaken hands with Matt Schlapp, who's the head of that. And Matt Schlapp shook hands with President Trump shortly thereafter. Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, and another senator are in self-imposed quarantine right now because they shook hands with that same person at the CPAC thing. So they're just being cautious.
Well, and that's good.
I have no problem with people being cautious. I mean, it's real. But, you know, the bottom line is if you're not 80 years old, you're probably not going to die from it.
No, you're right. But
fortunately, this doesn't really hit kids too hard.
No, it doesn't.
No, not at all.
One of the reasons they're saying it's not affecting
kids actually has something to live for.
Is something to do with as you're younger, you have more copper in your blood. And something to do with the copper in kids' blood is helping to keep this virus away from the kids. And it must be the copper breaks down in your system over years, and maybe that's one of the reasons why the older people are, plus the respiratory problems. But it does have something to do with the copper in the blood for the kids.
Okay.
That's interesting. All right.
Yeah, I know, because I knew there was a difference, and it was the tinfoil hat crowd
Thank you for that, Dr.
They were targeting older people with the virus.
No, it's not. They're just more susceptible, just like with the regular pneumonia. I mean,
yeah,
you guys
but usually,
know that as well.
You know, young kids and old
young
people.
Kids. Yeah, it's something to do with copper levels in the blood. So, I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but it wasn't a scientific journal.
That's okay. You gave us new information, something we didn't have.
Yes. But all right. Now, do you guys have any feeling that, you know, we look at Italy. Italy's now got 14 provinces, 16 million people in quarantine, which is not what I consider self-quarantine. This is a government-mandated quarantine. I mean, do we have, while this isn't going to kill people to a huge degree, do we have that real possibility here? I mean, could we wake up tomorrow in Boston, be in a quarantine, all of Boston? Or
I don't see how.
Well, they did it. They're doing it in Italy.
It just depends on who the politicians are running the thing.
Well, that, and you got to understand, with Boston, the population doubles every day with people going to work.
Well, but that's where everything around.
No, I understand that. So, what are you going to do? Shut down the city? Shut down the Massachusetts economy?
Yeah. Well, that's what they're doing everywhere else. That's what they're doing in Italy. Everything's shut down. That's what I'm asking. Is there? Yes. I mean, that's what they would have to do. They'd have to shut down the economy, just like they're going to do in Italy and Milan, well, and like they did in China, that the entire economy was shut down, everything. I mean,
Microsoft and Twitter have most of their people working from home now, and that's going to happen. You know, we just got to get through this,
your waitresses can't work from home. You can't cook eggs from home.
Yeah, I mean, people aren't going to go to restaurants as much either. It's going to slow down, but we'll see what happens. You know, but I'm basically saying it's not good. But the all the folks that have died have been either had immune problems and serious underlying health conditions, or they're over 80. And so, you know, it's don't panic is all I'm saying. Okay, be cautious, be prudent. You know, but we'll get through this. We always get through this. I'm not freaking out about the stock market or anything like that. The stock market thing today was more from Saudi Arabia telling Russia to kiss their butts. Because they wanted the price of oil has been falling, and Saudi Arabia was trying to get Russia to lower their output of oil to get the price supported.
Well, yeah, that was the whole stock market today.
Russia said niet, and Saudi Arabia said tizana bu, which is Arabic for your father's ass, which is an insult. And they basically opened up the spigots. They said, well, then we're going to go from 9 million barrels a day to 12 million barrels a day. And the oil market just collapsed this morning, and that led to a lot of the stock problems. So that's enough of that crap. Let's get on to something funny. Oh, yeah. I got to figure out how coronavirus is going to respond to huge increases in ammunition. Ammunition sales were through the roof. I don't understand that. And I also don't understand how toilet paper cures coronavirus. Everybody's freaking out about toilet paper. You know, I guess
I
in Florida I would understand it because palm leaves are really scratchy.
You know, so are pine needles.
Yeah, and yeah, you're up north. Pine needles, that wouldn't be good either.
Oh.
So, hey, all of Italy is shut down because of the coronavirus fears. But perhaps they should have shut travelers out 6 weeks ago like we did. And maybe it wouldn't be so bad. But one town did get to have some fun before the quarantine hit. Got a story here that Slim found, which I really enjoyed. Last Wednesday, for a few hours, residents of the northern Italian town of Castelvetro realized they could have their Lambrusco, which they're famous for in that town. They have a big Lambrusco company there, which I like. It's a nice fruity red wine. But also from their faucets and their shower heads. It didn't just come from bottles. A malfunction at the local winery caused 1,000 liters of ready-to-be-bottled wine to leak into the water pipes. The glitch lasted about 3 hours, impacted 20 homes, but those 20 homes got 1,000 liters of wine. People were bottling it right out of their sink.
Yeah, you could see it. It was flowing wine color for sure.
Yeah. The red stuff was coming. They turned on their faucet. They could take a shower in it.
That would be kind of gross.
Well, you'd smell funny, I guess. But there was a faulty valve in the washing circuit in the bottle line, and the Lambrusco Grasparosa, a local specialty, seeped through the town's water lines due to its pressure. And they apologized, but apparently nobody was really complaining. That's funny.
I wouldn't have complained either. I mean, that's pretty cool.
I'm not a big drinker, but Lambrusco, yeah, I'll drink a little glass of Lambrusco. I don't have no problem with that. All right. Now, everyone goes to McDonald's, right? You guys all go to McDonald's. You got kids, so I know you go, Slim.
We kind of
I haven't been to McDonald's in years.
But you've been there.
Many, many moons ago, yes.
And your family goes there.
Yes.
You have grandchildren.
Yes.
No. Some people go there a lot more than others do. But we got a warning for you, and it validates one of my private pet peeves. You'll never guess what they found on McDonald's touchscreens. Yes, you will. Just think.
Burger King food.
No.
Wendy's.
Metro published findings today from an investigation they did on random samplings of Great Britain's McDonald's touchscreens. The article was aptly titled, "Poo Found on Every McDonald's Touchscreen Tested." according to the paper, they swabbed the new self-order machines in six different England locations. Six in London and two in Birmingham, six different locations. Apparently, they're not real good at math at Men's Health, but that's what they wrote in the article. Six different locations, six in London and two in Birmingham. That must be that new math. Anyway, the breadth of different and concerning bacteria on each one worried senior lecturer in microbiology at London's Metropolitan University, Dr. Paul Metawelli, who told the Metro, "We were all surprised at how much gut and fecal bacteria there was on the touchscreen machines. These cause the kind of infections that get people sick and put them in the hospital. Among the bacteria was Staphylococcus, which has been linked to toxic shock syndrome." And he said it's so contagious. There's also Listeria, a couple other ones I can't pronounce. And there was a Proteus strain found, each which contribute to a different serious illness. McDonald's rep commented, "Our self-order screens are cleaned frequently throughout the day. All of our restaurants provide facilities for customers to wash their hands." Oh, whoop-de-effin-do. You know, okay, here's my 2 points. Number one, I won't use them, okay? I went in the local McDonald's here, one of the local McDonald's here, I don't know, 6 months ago probably. I don't go there that often either. But they had the new touchscreen machine, and there was a line at the counter. And there was a gigantic line. It was lunchtime. There was a gigantic line at the drive-thru. So I said, heck with it. I'll go in. So I go in, and there was a pretty good line at the counter, maybe 8-9 people ahead of me. And this real nice Latina lady was standing there beside the touchscreen, and she's saying, "Sir, you can use the touchscreen to place your order. It'll go faster." And I said, "No, I won't do that." He goes, "But sir, it's a convenience. It'll help you get your order faster and get out." And I said, "No." I said, I will not use them. I said, "You seem like a nice lady and you have a job here. I'd like you to keep your job here if you want to keep working here." And she goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "If people get in the habit of using these touchscreens, then you and those people I'm looking at right in front of me at the cash registers, they're not going to need them anymore." And I've always thought McDonald's is a great place for entry-level work. You have to learn the discipline of work. You have to learn to show up on time. You have to learn to be clean and neat and tidy and how to get along with people. And
how to kill America.
Meet responsibilities. And I won't use a touchscreen. Well, now I'm glad I had a principled reason not to use a touchscreen because I had poop all over my fingers. That's disgusting, man.
It is disgusting. Well, and I'm sure that's not the only thing that they found on these touch screens. So,
it was just gross.
I had the same thing. Taco Bell, I went in, and they just had installed them the day before. And yeah. The manager, of course, who pushed us right. There was no one in line. I went right up to the lady, and he said, no, I'm not using the touch screen. I got to make, everything's got to be special. I have kids who are picky. I'm not going to try to find all the options on your menu. You know where they are on your register. You're going to take my order, not the touchscreen. It's just the way it is.
And see, all these people that are screaming, "Oh, it should be a $15 an hour minimum wage." Well, what happens when you put a $15 an hour minimum wage is they invent robots to make your hamburgers, and they put touchscreens everywhere to take your orders because they have to cut down on the number of personnel in order to be profitable. And, you know, eventually it's going to come. Eventually it's going to happen. It's inevitable. I'm sure CB would agree with me.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to help it along.
Well, it's going to. I mean, look at how, even when you go to your Walmarts now, they have two registers open with a cashier, and then they have, you know, 25 lanes of self-checkout because they're trying to push you to the self-checkouts. I mean, and it's happened and not just
one of the reasons I won't go to Walmart.
Well, it's not just Walmart. We have a lot of places here now all self-checkout. There's so many places. It's ridiculous.
The best part of my little interaction with the lady trying to get me to use a touchscreen is that when I explained to her why I won't use it, because I want you guys all have jobs if you choose to have a job here, she turned to me and goes, "You are a nice man." Thank you. Thank you very much. People at the poker table don't think I'm all that nice, but that's all right.
Yeah. Well, you keep handing them all your money.
You don't win.
I win enough.
You're still hanging out with us, so
Yeah, it's a good point.
Well, yeah, I don't play those million-dollar tournaments and stuff because it's, you know, I can't sit there for 12 or 13 hours a day, for God's sakes. I'm too old, I'm too impatient, I'm too infirmed. My body is a temple, ancient and crumbling. I like to pay 5 or 6 hour tournaments. Those I can hack. In Spain.
The rain in Spain España. Falls mainly on the plain?
The far left in España is as ridiculous as it is here. You just can't.
Probably
teach.
More so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had anarchists there. There was a whole community of
anarchists.
Well,
we do too. You ever been to Portland?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, but this was like years ago.
My point is, you can't teach stupid, and I don't care if you choose to live as a vegetarian or a vegan or an animal rights activist. All that's fine. If you be what you want to be.
Right.
And no problem with it. Just don't shove it down my throat, okay? But we have a few million years of history to validate us scoffing at these loons. Vegan activists in Spain are physically separating hens from roosters in people's farms so the hens aren't raped.
By the farmers?
By the roosters. Oh, raping them by the farmers. Yeah, okay, well, those guys, I got a problem with that. That's really sick. But no, vegan activists from Spain have shocked the public these days with their unusual actions. They're convinced that the roosters intentionally rape the hens, so they are firmly determined that the animals need to be separated from each other. We must not differentiate between human and animal species, which is why they believe animals can also be raped. They plan to end the abuse and rape chickens who are constantly running away from the roosters. Well, have you ever been to a farm? Chickens run around like crazy all the time anyway. I mean, even if you're having one for dinner and you chop its head off, it still runs around for a few minutes.
I mean, there's been chickens...
That's just how it is.
There's been chickens since forever, and we've never had a problem with the chickens and the roosters raping each other.
We've got 10,000 years saying you people are nuts.
Oh, my God. This is...
Yeah, roosters are raping chickens. Ugh. You know, if you want to be a vegan, fine, but leave my food alone. Go away. You know, I don't make fun of you for eating tofu, which is just disgusting.
Well, you know what's funny? We as meat eaters, we don't, except for Daryl and on the radio show, we don't really make fun of, you know, vegans and vegetarians.
Yeah, and what do we pick on Daryl? We give him pictures of bacon just to tease him.
Right. But we're not negative at all towards, you know, the vegan or vegetarian community. No. However, if you take the roles and reverse them, they are completely, you know, assholes towards the people who eat meat. And leave us alone. We leave you alone. Leave us alone. Let us eat our meat.
You've got your lifestyle, you know, you got Burger King making meatless Whoppers. You know, people are catering to your needs. You are a certain percentage of the population, and if you're in business, you want to try and cater to as many people as you can, and that's fine.
And those people that are eating those meatless
Whoppers, leave us alone.
They need to look at the chemicals and the crap that's in a meatless Whopper.
It's like we talked about this years ago with you know, I mean, we've been doing the show 10 years now almost. The gay rights versus the religious folks, you know. I was always in favor of them not calling it marriage, calling it civil unions and stuff. That was just my middle-of-the-road position, which is why both sides hate me, I guess, because I took the middle-of-the-road position on it. But I'm not overly religious at all, and you know, and I don't give a hoot if you're gay. You love who you love. It's all good. I don't care. But once they won the argument, and gay marriage was legalized and they called it marriage and stuff, I won the religious right to shut up, okay? And for the most part, they did. There's still some people who just complain about it and it's horrible and stuff, but it's a very tiny minority. But the gay side, they've never shut up. It's like they just keep going. They keep going. They want to hate the religious right because the religious right still doesn't agree with them. But you won the argument. It doesn't matter what they think. Just everybody shut up and get along. You know, the one thing I know about the Bible is they tell you to love one another. They don't say love one another because you're gay or love one another because you're not gay. Come on. We're not all going to become Muslims and start throwing gay people off the roofs. You know? Right. Just lighten up, America. God, lighten up.
Well, wait. Here you go. Along the lines of lighten up, I didn't send this to you because it just came out. Breitbart's reporting now that they are now saying that same Wuhan virus, which that was what it, you know,
that's
originally,
racist, man.
It is now racist.
It's
saying
racist.
Wuhan
now
racist,
it is.
Virus is racist. Yep.
Yeah. But the thing is, coronavirus has been around forever, and this is COVID-19, a different strain, and it originated in Wuhan, China. So if you mention that it originated in Wuhan, China, Joe Biden will have a fit with you. He loves China. I can talk to them, man. I met with Xi Jinping, or no, the other guy, the old guy.
Mao Zedong.
Oh, the one in
Chiang Kai-shek.
And we worked on these problems together. And it turns out...
No, you know who he met with?
The guy he talked about had died 16 years earlier.
He met with Emperor Ming.
Joe's getting old, is that what you're saying?
Oh, my God, he is something.
No, don't you remember Flash Gordon?
Yeah.
Yeah, Emperor Ming.
Emperor Ming. That's in the future. But Joe will still be around then. He's going to live to be 200. Oh, anyway. We all like whales, right? Everybody likes whales.
I don't anymore.
Oh, because you read the article?
Because I read the article.
Okay.
I'm no longer
but
a whale.
If you're on a boat trip and you see a whale, it's a thrill. You know, and if you're scuba diving, you may get to see them up close. That could be awesome.
Yeah, no. Stay really far away from them.
Or not. Maybe you don't want to get too close.
I wouldn't get within 400 yards of them sons of bitches now.
A group of divers near the Caribbean island of Dominica were engulfed in a mighty cloud of shit, churned out by a sperm whale. The men were on a routine expedition to photograph the whales when one of their subjects started blasting an ungodly amount of butt butter into the ocean. While spinning in circles, causing what one of the divers called a poonado.
It's a real shitstorm is what it was.
Yeah. And we got pictures of this, and I'm telling you, you know how big a sperm whale is? The brown cloud behind him is easily twice as big as the whale.
It's just disgusting.
Oh, it was enormous.
Showing no mercy, the beast didn't stop until there was a 100-foot-wide cloud of its Mississippi mud coating the divers and all their equipment.
It was his way of saying, get the fuck away from me.
In a show of unwavering dedication to his craft, Canadian photographer Kerry Wilk managed to capture the experience on film. Some believe the torrent of rusty nuggets was a little-known defense mechanism triggered by the proximity of the divers.
Oh, there you
on the
go.
Other hand, it could have just been a spastic diuretic beast. We don't know. That's how little we understand about whales and their insane magical poops. The whale bobbed up and down, spun in circles, and waved the poo in every direction for several minutes. Well, we just sat back and watched.
Well, if it waved it back and forth like that, I would say it was a defense mechanism.
What's that potty thing that looks like the Star Trek Enterprise? Thing you put your feet up on?
Oh, the squatty potty.
Squatty potty.
Squatty potty. Yeah. I guess whales can't use a squatty potty. It gets it all out in no time. this whale pooed for minutes. He said the water looked like chocolate milk. Guy couldn't see his hand in front of his face. I had poop in my eyes, mouth, wetsuit, everywhere. But after leaving the cloud, it quickly washed away, and it didn't leave a smell on us. So there you go. Whale says his shit don't stink. He's right.
Well, the thing is that whales are basically vegetarians. Because they eat plankton.
There you go.
And vegetarians are very clean on the inside.
All right, we should ask Daryl. Daryl, does your poop stink?
Oh, I don't want to.
I'll bet it does. He's Dr. Daryl now. We have to be respectful.
He has a real job, too, so I can't call him, or I would. Just to ask him that.
That's all right.
Back in the day, I'd bug him in a second for...
But these guys returned to shore later, and they took an extra long shower. They didn't know it ever happened before, but the poonado is now a thing. These whales are 50, 60 feet long and weigh 35 to 45 tons.
That's a lot of poop.
They move throughout all the world's oceans at times in pods of 15 to 20, but males tend to travel alone. And they don't know a lot about sperm whales, even how many there are. But we do know...
they poop.
They can poop.
Jesus.
Oh.
Hey,
ambergris is a poopish substance excreted by sperm whales. Ambergris. That sounds tasty. So you find out what it is.
It's whale poop.
Yeah, I don't think I want that for dinner.
We forgot to put this in the show notes. I forgot to mention it to you, but we talked about it. You and I talked about it last night. But remember that dude that walked across that volcano the other night on live TV?
Oh, yeah.
Brazil.
Oh, Jesus.
Something really interesting about this. As everybody watched, I mean, I was all excited because I really thought this guy was going to walk across a wire over a volcano, which he did.
Yeah, looked pretty
he
cool.
Did. He did. He did. But he was attached to a safety wire, which...
good.
No, not he didn't want to. He did not want to be. Here's where the catch is. He did not want to be attached to the safety wire. However, because this was on ABC, which is owned by Disney, they told him that no wire, no walk, no TV special. I find it isn't as impressive to me that he walked across this volcano on the wire. I'm not saying I could do it. But it just isn't as impressive, because if he had fallen, nothing would have happened. If he had fallen without the wire, it'd have been a hell of a great TV special.
Yeah, not so much for him.
Well, no, but I just...
my assumption is with insurance, they couldn't let him do it anyway. Never mind the fact they didn't want somebody to be burned alive in a volcano on national television.
Well, so does this mean he actually successfully completed the walk?
As far as I'm concerned, he did.
Okay, all right. You're right. He did, but I don't know. Anyways, did you guys watch it?
But ABC basically wussed out.
What about ABC?
ABC wussed out is what you're saying.
Yeah. Oh yeah. ABC, because it's owned by Disney, couldn't have.
Because I've been watching the Willendas for years. I mean, and I don't. I don't think there's any Willendas that's a wuss.
No, and they don't use safety. They don't use this all the time. I mean, I don't know if he used it when he did the New York City walk there, when he wherever it was, but he definitely used them here. He didn't want to. He was told to.
Okay.
It was pretty fun to watch, though, for the most part. I mean, there was those poisonous gases coming up off of the volcano. It was like 1,800 feet drop, which, again, they make it sound like, oh my God, if he falls off this wire, he's going to plummet 1,800 feet into 6,000 degree lava. No, he was just going to dangle from the wire until they cut the feed and pulled him off. I mean, it just was disappointing in that respect, that there was no real true possible tragedy that could have been.
Oh boy.
Well, no, but that's what they built.
No tragedy. That's horrible.
That they build up something as a guy is going to attempt an amazing feat of walking across a volcano.
Knievel never had a safety thing when he jumped over.
Exactly. I don't know. It doesn't live up to the hype when you use the safety measures like that. But
he still got paid.
No, of course he did. He got paid big bucks. Big bucks. Pretty interesting. Anyways, continue.
Oh, that's all right. I'm just wondering if the whales like McDonald's.
Fuck, man. They'd be shitting for a month.
Could be. It's possible.
Anyway. Could you imagine? Look, that was their shit. Can you imagine when they blow their wad?
You had to go there.
Well.
No, it's not going to be that bad.
I bet it is.
It's going to look like white milk instead of chocolate milk.
Well, yeah, but it's going to be that. What would you rather swim through if you had to pick one?
If I had to pick one?
Jesus.
White milk
or chocolate
milk?
I don't know either. My knees are so shot. I would never scuba dive now.
I never did scuba dive.
I've snorkeled a bunch, but...
I used to snorkel all the time. I used to go spearfishing.
I just observed the fishies. It's like shooting guns. I love to shoot guns, but I target shoot because I don't hunt. I'm not going to go out and shoot an animal for a meal, and I'm not going to shoot one just for a trophy because I don't agree with that kind of stuff. you know. But if you're into it, I'm not gonna make fun of you online or think you're the world's worst person or something.
So those pictures when people go over on their African safaris and they have their giraffe in their hand and people are going absolutely ape shit over.
I just scroll on by.
Me too. But there's so many people that they get so freaking mad that, I mean, that they do that shit. Anyway.
Oh, by the way.
It's okay.
The average blue whale produces over 400 gallons of sperm when it ejaculates.
Well, okay, so now as long as you're right there, how much excrement does he produce?
That's like the banana split story from Daryl. It's just something I could live without knowing.
I have a 400-gallon cider tank at work. I know how much 400 gallons is. That would be disgusting.
I've got a 500-gallon propane tank, and they put 400 gallons in it, so...
A blue whale can excrete up to 200 liters of poo in one bowel movement.
200 liters?
Yep.
That'd be 600 gallons. How much wine did you say was spilled in the Italy thing? Was it 1 liter of wine in the Italy thing?
1,000 liters.
1,000 liters? Okay, 1,000 liters is 300 gallons, because I read an article that gave it in gallons. So 1,000 liters is 300 gallons.
That's about right.
So what did you say? How many liters for excrement?
It says 200 liters of poo in one bowel movement.
Yeah, so...
These are the things America's going to go to bed tonight going, oh, I learned so much listening to Off Book Radio.
Well, hey, you know, inquiring minds want to know.
And we all have Google.
How much of the ocean is whale pee?
I don't want to know that.
Well, guess what?
2%.
I'm trying to see it.
There's a lot of water. 0.2%.
Must be it doesn't have the answer.
Well, you asked a question and you don't have an answer?
Yeah, well, wait a minute. I got there. The estimated daily urine production of 166 gallons or 627 liters.
You must drink a lot.
A fin whale can produce about 257 gallons of urine in one day.
They're the heavy drinkers.
I guess.
Oh,
it doesn't give us a percentage, which is too bad.
That's all right.
But you're right. It's probably relatively minor.
All right, well, I got to talk about this next one. We have a stupid criminal of the week, and guess what?
Not from Florida?
She's not from Florida. As hard as that is to imagine.
It is
hard
to imagine.
She is CB's neighbor and a woman he has no doubt written to many times.
Probably, yeah.
That is true, is it not?
Except, I mean, what she grabbed was... never mind, tell the story.
Is it Barry?
Barry, yes.
Yes, B-A-R-R-E, pronounced Barry in Massachusetts.
You got
Barry it. Tax collector Marcia Langelier, 66 years old, lost her job in 2018. She was convicted of stealing more than $250,000 in taxpayers' money. Now, she's been ordered by a judge to pay $100 a month in restitution during the remainder of her 3-year probationary term. She stole $250,000 and she got probation.
She's 66.
She pleaded guilty to charges of embezzlement by a municipal or county officer and making false entries in corporate books. She stole $251,150. From town coffers between January of 2005 and July of 2011. So 6 years.
Actually, that was just before I moved here.
Yeah, it was a little over $40,000 a year she was stealing. What did she use the money for, CB?
Gambling at Foxwoods.
She had a bit of a gambling problem. She's forfeited her $30,500 a year pension.
Yep.
To the Worcester. Worcester. They say things funny up there.
It's Worcester.
Worcester. You're wicked smart. Can your car park itself?
No.
You don't have a smart car?
I just park it in my yard.
Smart car. Parked in your yard. Okay. The Worcester Regional Retirement Board
That commercial's awesome.
So she's turned that money over to the town as restitution. So if she lives another 8 years, basically she'll pay the money back. The parties agreed during the hearing that the total amount of the town's loss after payment of $150,000 bond was still another $101,000. So you apply the $30,000 towards that amount, and the balance owed to the town was set at $70,000 still. And then restitution will be $3,600. So apparently she's getting away with about $66,000. But the woman apparently had a gambling problem.
Oh, yeah.
She gambled, and she wasn't good at it.
No.
Yeah, you can gamble. You just have to be better at it. Yeah, she probably sat in front of the slot machine all day, you know?
She lost $40,000 a year at slot machines?
It doesn't say that.
It doesn't say what she gambled on.
No, it just says she gambled.
Oh, I would hope she's a poker player and somebody took it all from her in cash.
Nah, she's a little old lady, probably playing a slot machines.
Yeah.
You know how little, you know, you when you walk into your casinos down there and you see all the little old ladies hanging around the slot machines.
So some of the money that you sent to her in payment of your taxes was embezzled.
No. Because she only took the cash.
Oh, she only took people who paid in cash. Okay.
Yeah, that's how she hid it.
Who pays their taxes in cash? Oh, I know who. I saw this on Alaska PD. Alaska, basically you can smoke weed and carry a gun pretty much anytime you want. I think as long as you have less than an ounce or something like that, it's cool. It's not a crime. You can be drunk in public. That's not a crime. You can carry a gun concealed anywhere without a permit or training. That's not a crime. I don't agree with most of those. The weed thing, okay, I don't care. But selling marijuana is still illegal on a federal basis, the pot shop in Fairbanks has to pay their business taxes in cash because no banks will do business with them because the feds could crack down on them, which is dumb. That's one of the reasons Jeff Sessions was just like
stupid.
The worst. He's the worst pick Trump made by far. Sessions, you know, he wussed out on the whole Russia thing for no reason that made any sense to me. And then he went after marijuana. Well, I'm going to crack down on marijuana. Yeah, come on, Tommy Tuberville. Beat his ass. Alabama don't need him anymore. But because of him being the attorney general and the crackdown on the marijuana and the banks are afraid to deal with him and everything else, they paid their taxes in cash. They called a policeman to come over to the pot shop. He would pick up a bag of cash. $60,000 was this particular one. $60,000 in cash. And the cop took it to the township place and paid their taxes for him. 60 freaking grand. I tell you, the pot shop must have been pretty profitable.
Yeah, did they say over what time period that tax was?
I think it was a quarter or semi-annual, one or the other. It was less than a year. But I don't recall if it was a quarter or semi-annual.
Okay.
If I knew, I would tell you, but I don't remember everything. It was a couple months ago I saw this. So.
And this was in Alaska?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're going to bring that show back. It was pretty cool. Did you watch any of that one, Slim?
Not that one, no. I did not. Yeah, actually, you know what? I caught a couple of episodes.
Yeah, I think we only ran like 8 of them, maybe 10, but it was pretty good. But, you know, you get these nighttime shots and they show the cop going through the city streets at night, and they always put the temperature up in the top left-hand corner. And that just made me go, oh. I couldn't stand Pennsylvania. I moved to Florida.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, you got to pay it monthly.
Oh, that was 1 month in Alaska.
The excise tax on marijuana cultivation facility is liable for the excise tax on marijuana and must file a monthly tax return and pay the tax.
Wow. Well, we know what all that WIC money is going for up there.
Okay. Mature bud DBT. Flowers are taxed at $50 per ounce, and trim, whatever that is taxed at $15 per ounce.
Slim would know. Trim's what falls off the buds, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And a new rate has been added at $25 per ounce for bud slash flower that is considered immature or abnormal. Sort of like us.
Touche.
Clones are taxed at a flat rate of $1 per clone and not on the estimated weight.
Hmm. So it's complicated taxes, I mean, for weed.
I guess.
So the cop has to pick up 50 or 60 grand every month.
Month.
And take it over.
That's what it sounds like.
So they're selling at least 1,000 ounces.
Probably more than that.
Well, if it's 50 grand, you said it was $50 an ounce. So that would be 1,000 ounces. This is not a real big town. This is not a real big town. You know, it's got like 22,000 people or something. They have like, but they have like 11 bars or 11 liquor stores and 3 pot shops for 22,000 people.
So you got to figure, multiply that tax thing by 3.
Yeah.
Assuming they're all doing about the same business.
So basically, you're at 15% of the population is smoking at least an ounce of weed a month.
Jesus.
Or as Slim would call them, lightweights.
You got it.
They're lightweights, right, Slimbo?
They are.
Oh, my God. Anyway, what else we got? Oh, we only got a couple minutes left. I'll just run this quick. Bagala, remember him? Him and James Carville were the campaign guys behind Clinton's win over George H.W. Bush in 92, although I think Ross Perot should really get the credit. Bagala still likes getting on TV and pretending to be relevant, but this time he's got an idea that's in line with my posted thoughts. Bagala says that it's likely that Trump will have Pence resign and pick a new vice presidential candidate the day of the Democratic nomination. And which would, you know, steal the headlines and stuff. Trump does like to do that, so.
No.
I can't argue that part of it.
I've never noticed
it. He does those rallies the days of the Democratic debates.
Yeah, I know.
He's just such a troll, but I get a kick out of him. He's so funny. But anyway, he thinks that he's going to have Pence resign and pick Nikki Haley, the former UN ambassador and the former governor of South Carolina. Help, you know, get the women vote and that kind of thing in November. Now, I had posted some time ago, and CB and I had discussed it, I think he should have Pence resign and pick Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina. Tim Scott is a Republican senator from South Carolina who is black. And he's smart. He's well-spoken. You know, in the campaign ease, you know, I mean, he can come out there and do a campaign speech. He's not Trumpish, but he's good. He's more enthusiastic than, say, my boy Rubio here in Florida. I figured that way, instead of getting 18-20% of the black vote, which he'll probably get, versus 7 or 8% that Republicans usually get, he could get 35 or 40% of the black vote. And then, of course, your vice president's going to run for president when your term is done. So Tim Scott would be the Republican nominee in 2024, and I thought he should pick Nikki Haley as his vice president in 2024, and that way you shut the left out of the presidency for 12 more years. So it's a good idea.
That's okay. Nancy Pelosi will still wait him out.
She'll be a mummy.
It might be 104.
She'll be a mummy, and somebody will be like, have a string on her hand. She'll bang in that gavel. You know.
Weekend at Nancy's.
Yeah, so we're gonna end with a little Adam.
Yeah, Adam, we can do that. Yeah, here we go.
Let's rock out, and we'll be back in a month because we're gonna do Idols Sunday and Monday for the next 4 weeks.
Yeah. So
bye, LJ. There. Bye, Wesley. See you in a month.
All right. Good night.
Hey, mama.
Let's take the swing.